sangha. Sometimes you have a mental image of something you're trying to describe in words, and the mental image is just, you know, just the ticket, and the words just kind of seem like they're always circling around it. And this is the kind of mental image of something I was trying to communicate the other day. This is that image. I remember I said I had this mental image and I couldn't describe it at the time. Since then, it kind of came a little more clear, but this is the kind of image. And it's a real simple thing. You know, it's no big mystery. The movement is from that direction over on the left towards the right. And I should have brought another picture, but this is like a section of a much more immense picture. And I think of it like asteroids or something, these kind of rocks floating in space. they keep beaming us. This is the lumps of karma that are coming due. There tends to be a movement from the more external to the more internal. From the more material and physical to the more spiritual. So out here on the far left, they're very material and physical, seeming anyway. But the reality of them is really something spiritual. The causes lie in spiritual choices were made at some point in the past. So here they come hurtling along, and as they hurtle along, they start to lose their substantiality, seeming substantiality and materialness, and these kind of colored wavy lines are the kind of where it's starting to commute from commute's not the word I want transform commutate is that a word transform starting to transform from the more physical material to the more spiritual, and in the process the emotions really hit hard. And these wavy lines are of different colors, and they're kind of graduating in colors from the darker colors to lighter, kind of brighter colors, is indicative of the emotional impact of things. And what the karma coming due in feeling. So the kind of rocks are karma coming due in the physical world. The wavy lines are karma coming due in feeling. And the rocks continue on, but the rocks, as the feeling comes to dominate, the rocks are more or less material seeming. Now, the fact that one comes to perceive them as less real depends on one is actually meditating with it. Because they don't really have the reality that they seem to have. But if we persist in believing in that reality of external things, then we'll continue to, regardless of what we're experiencing spiritually, you know, we'll still perceive the rocks as being really real. And we'll think the obstacles, the real obstacles are external things, and we'll keep trying to fix external things. But external things, the way the world is, external things fundamentally can't be fixed because of the first noble truth. You know, existence is permeated with suffering. There's no way you can stop. By manipulating external circumstances and conditions, there's no way you can stop the problem of suffering. You see. But if you're meditating with it, what happens is, even though the feelings are still there and even more powerful maybe, the external things become to be seen as more and more insubstantial and real. And then feeling itself begins to change and transform. And where there was the darker feeling, the brighter feeling starts to manifest as the process of conversion continues. Never underestimate what meditation, just sitting down, just sitting still with something, can do. Never underestimate it. It can literally change your whole view of things completely. So, as that genuine conversion happens, then the rocks, which have been getting more and more unsubstantial, vanish and Buddhas appear. That's what these little shapes are supposed to be. Buddhas. Little bright, little lights. Little bright lights. Buddhas appear. They're these same seeming obstacles now revealed what their true nature is. Dogen emphasized that samsara and nirvana, samsara, the realm of impermanence, the realm of suffering, and nirvana, the realm of enlightenment, are fundamentally one, not two. It's just how you are seeing it and experiencing it. When we look with enlightened eyes, we don't see the dust, much less the boulders. We see Buddhas. But what's needed to see Buddhas is conversion, a change in our point of view, a change in the position that we're coming from, that we're perceiving from, that we're thinking from, that we're experiencing from. This is why it's so important, and you can think of this as something that happens again and again in training, that you get some boulders thrown at you, some karma comes due in some form or other. It might be in your workplace, it might be in your family life, it might be health, it might be any number of things. Might be in the loss of someone you're close to, their death, or they're moving away, or they're turning against you. Might be in any number of ways that karma comes due initially. And it's why it's so important when you first become aware of this, to recognize it. First of all, it can take a long time for people to actually recognize, to remind themselves, actually, this may be karma coming due. This may be rooted in actions from this life earlier on, or actions or choices made in someone previously in the karmic stream. This may be karma coming due. Right there, if you can recognize that, you're well ahead of the game then, at that point. Or at least up with it. But then, really, to really bow to that karma that's coming to you, in whatever form it comes, and take it, this is my teacher giving me teaching that's hard to accept. This is why one of the reasons why the master-disciple relationships can so help people, that people are willing to stick with it, because a good teacher gives you plenty of knocks, and if you can learn to bow to those knocks, you're literally training yourself to bow to life, to the hard knocks of life. And then to really meditate with the karma coming due, and to go through the states of feeling in the context of really meditating with it and really turning to the eternal for help with it. Doing that initial recognition, this is karma coming due, that initial bowing, and then when you're in this phase of the powerful feelings arise, then turning towards the source of help, turning towards the eternal and saying, going to an altar, going to your meditation place, and really recognizing, I need help with this. And then sitting with it, training with it. when one gets in this place, one's then in the place of the scripture great wisdom, as in the mind of the bodhisattva who is truly one with wisdom great, the obstacles dissolve. It's not that there's no difficulties anymore, it's that one is looking at them from a positive place, a place of acceptance. And as the meditation as the meditation deepens, that which seems so real and so pressing and so threatening is seen more and more as unsubstantial and unreal. And one is safe in that, one is sitting safe in the hand of the Buddha. And when we come to the time of death, typically, you know, as one approaches death, you know, a lot of this stuff gets chucked at you. You know, sickness, weakness, plus a lot of other things. If one can approach one's death with this understanding, this is another opportunity to train. And to take each of those rocks or those boulders as it comes and whacks you, take each of them as, this is the Buddha that's helping me. Bow, train with it. If one does this, and we're really, again, right in the center of this whole process is that asking for help, because to me that's just so key, that asking for help, then one will find that instead of a threatening asteroid field, one is amongst a field of Buddhas. Dogen also said, when we wish to teach and enlighten all beings, we are deluded. When all things teach and enlighten us, we are enlightened. And this is that place. When all things teach and enlighten us, we're enlightened. The greater the suffering that we go through in this process, the greater the spiritual need that underlies it. And the greater the opportunity for us to really reach deep into ourselves and find the faith. Find the faith to look up in the midst of the suffering and the pain and the confusion. To really look up and sit still and wait for the guidance, listen for and wait for the guidance of our true nature, of our heart. If one is oriented towards the eternal, oriented towards one's true heart, and sitting still and listening with an open heart, then when the timing is right, if there's something we need to do, when the timing's right, the message will come. And we'll take whatever step, a little tiny step or a big step, it doesn't matter how we perceive it or gauge its size or its importance. What matters is we take that step and then again sit still and wait and listen. Ask, you know, wait, listen. Put it all on the altar of the heart and for the eternal to help us with. You can do this with external things, whatever, you know, family relationships, relationships with friends and Sangha members. You know, you can do it with illness, you can do it with death, you can do it with losing a job. You can do it with anything that arises. And you can do it, those are the more external things. You can do it with any spiritual thing. You can do it any state of feeling, any impulse. A principle applies across the board. And when she was a very young monk, her master wrote in a diary, said, I will have to take everything that happens to me as being for my good, or I will not be able to do this. I will not be able to do it. And she found right there in that incredibly difficult situation she was in early years, she found early months really as a monk, she found the key to training. The key. Take everything that happens as being for my good. Everything that happens as being grist for the mill of meditation. Just bring it to the meditation. There's a hymn that I learned when I was a kid that I love, that had a line, you know, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. You know, and that's the, you know, that's what, that's, if you take that as teaching and take it at the deepest level, that's meditation. You take your burdens to the eternal and you put them on the altar of the heart and you sit with it and you look up and the eternal gets at it. Not me with my intelligence, not me with my good intentions, but the eternal with the compassion and wisdom that is beyond me.